Blessings, everybody. This is Dale. Thank you so much for joining with me today on the Word Podcast. Hey, it's good to be back to my good microphone. I've been on the road a lot the last 3 weeks, and it's actually going to continue the next week or so. But then I think I'll be away for a while. We'll see. Just celebrations of life, a funeral, a marriage, family, those kind of things, It's very, very good all the way around. Yes, even the funeral is good. Someone who was highly esteemed, highly respected by God, by community, has received the reward of eternity in the very presence of the Most High God. So though we miss them greatly, we rejoice even greater. And we really do. So we're in 2 Samuel 18, and we saw in the previous episode that Absalom has been killed. Okay, had been killed. And this was really against the very direct order of King David, not to bring harm. He said it to his three commanders that were leading his army. He said it in front of all the people to where the people knew it. And even when the commander did it in order that it be done, some of the soldiers said, hey, you don't need to do this because King said not to do this, and he did it anyway. So we pick up the 18th verse, 18th chapter of 2 Samuel. It says this: Now Absalom, in his lifetime, had taken and set up for himself a pillar, which is in the king's valley. For he said, I have no son to preserve my name. So he named the pillar after his own name, and it is called Absalom's Monument to this day. And you think, well, that's sort of a curious next verse after the thing about how they buried Absalom. They threw him in the deep pit, and they erected a great heap of stones over him, and then all of Israel fled, each one of their tent. Well, then the next verse talks about a great heap of stones that Absalom had made for himself, and it was a pillar in the king's valley. So he erected this pillar to honor himself, and he did so because he says, I have no son. But you may go, wait a minute, didn't we just read a few chapters back? And we did. 2 Samuel 14, 27, where it says that he had three sons and a daughter. Okay, a daughter named Tamar. He named it after his sister that had been attacked, right? So what happened here? Did he have no sons? Did he have three sons? Of course, people will point to this and say, this is the inconsistency of the Word of God, okay? No. We're not told precisely yet. Well, I don't think we're told anywhere in the Scripture, as a matter of fact, what happened. But obviously, something happened to his three sons. Okay, his three sons must have died. We might even say that his three sons, he thought that they were inadequate to preserve his name, but I doubt that's what it was. I think they probably had just died. And so he erected this pillar, and he named the pillar after his own name. He called it Absalom's Monument. And it was named that to this day at the time of the writing of this account, okay? Then verse 19. Then Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok, said, please let me run and bring the king's news that the Lord has freed him from the hand of his enemies. And so this is the son that had been running back and forth and bringing information, okay? This was part of the information conduit, remember, that David had set up? And he said, hey, let me run ahead and bring this good news. Verse 20, but Joab said to him, you are not the man to carry news this day, but you shall carry news another day. However, you shall carry no news today because the king's son is dead. Well, he had been carrying news. He had been doing this. He wanted to bring this really news of all news before the king, but Joab said no. Now, think a moment. Why do you think Joab said no? Why would he not allow this? Well, I suspect it's because Joab had experienced, either heard or seen, what had happened to previous runners who had come and brought what they thought was going to be good news to the king. And they were actually sort of bragging about it. Remember that? We've seen a couple accounts of this. And their life was required of them. They thought it was going to be a great thing to tell the king, oh, King Saul is dead. Okay, it wasn't a great thing. Remember those? And so Joab might have been a little protective right here. So verse 21 continues. Then Joab said to the Cushite, go and tell the king what you have seen. So the Cushite bowed to Joab and ran. So he took off. Now, Ahimaaz, verse 22, the son of Zadok, said once more to Joab, but whatever happens, please let me also run after the Cushite. And Joab said, why would you run, my son, since you have no reward for going? So Ahimaaz was pushing him on this. And he says, okay, you sent this Cushite. He says, I don't care what's going to happen to me. I want to run. I want to go. I want to be the one to tell. And he says, why do you want to do this, my son? That's sort of a term of endearment right there, is it not? Why do you want to run, my son, since you have no reward for going? There's no benefit for you going. There's no advantage for you doing this. Why are you wanting to do this? But then verse 23, he says, Joab, but whatever happens, he said, I will run. Ahimaaz was saying it. I don't care. I'm going to run. So he said to him, run. Joab relented. He says, go ahead, run. Then Ahimaaz ran by the way of the plain and passed up the Cushite. So he took off running. And folks, these folks were actually running. I mean, this is how you communicated rapidly with a messenger. You'd have a messenger. And they could run extended miles very, very quickly. Verse 24. Now David was sitting between the two gates, and the watchman went up to the roof of the gate by the wall and raised his eyes and looked, and behold, a man running by himself. So David is sitting there awaiting news. He's awaiting news about his son. We see this in several stories and incidences in the scripture, this idea that the father is waiting. The father is looking. He's sitting between the gates, ground level. He sends a guy up the top to where you can see higher. The watchman, verse 25, called out and told the king. And the king says, if he is by himself, there's good news in his mouth. And he came nearer and nearer. Then the watchman saw another man running. And the watchman called to the gatekeeper and said, behold, another man running by himself. And the king said, this one also is bringing good news. The watchman said, I think the running of the first one is like the running of Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok. And the king said, this is a good man and comes with good news. You see how it was sort of preparing King David for what he's about to see, what he's about to experience, and what's about to happen. It's interesting that the watchman actually knew the running style of Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok, because the watchman, what do? They watch. And when he would have been coming back and forth and back and forth with information and news, they would pay close attention to who it was that was rapidly approaching them, lest it be an enemy, lest it be an enemy feigning as a runner with David's army, and it not be. And so they paid real, real close attention to all this. Then verse 28, Ahimaaz called and said to the king, all is well. And he prostrated himself before the king with his face to the ground. And he said, blessed is the Lord your God, who has delivered up the men who lifted their hands against my lord, the king. So now the king finds out that the army overall is victorious. He finds out that all is well with his army, with his people. But there's something else that's been on his mind the whole time. We'll have to look at that in the next episode. Again, I'm Dale. Thank you so much for your time, and I'll see y'all then. Goodbye.